You are listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
A little Cleveland musical bent as we come out of the break. I'll leave to you to identify the band, at least at this point in time. Astros Indians will finally get started tomorrow afternoon and early, 1:05 our time. Been discussing obviously a lot this week and much more right now as we welcome to the program Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com on the Indians and much more. He does a regular podcast, The Morning Lineup, MLB Radio with friend of this show and others, Richard Justice. Anthony, Charlie here in Houston, our first time. Let me start with this. If we're having a player draft between the Astros and Indians for this series, I'm giving you the first pick. Who do you take?
That's a fun one. Obviously, there's so much superstar talent on both these squads. I'd probably lean towards Francisco Lindor, both for the present and the long term. I think that's a MVP caliber player. Obviously, I would put Correa in that conversation normally, but obviously he just hasn't had, you know, that kind of a season this year, and he's been banged up. So I'd probably lean towards Lindor.
Yeah, totally viable pick, obviously. I would then counter with Alex Bregman, which then brings to the other point, and you just covered Correa. Overall body of work this season, Jose Ramirez would clearly be the next name mentioned. I've been asking anyone who follows the Indians regularly, what the heck has happened to him the last 6 weeks, batting 166 the last 40 games of the season? This isn't just a week-long slump.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Major adjustment to the way he's been pitched. You know, a lot more first pitch breaking balls, a lot fewer fastballs, and then the fastballs he's getting, he's not doing the damage he was doing for the first, you know, 4.5 months of the season. So it's been a strange thing to watch because this guy was on just an absolute another level for, you know, the large majority of the season, and to see him struggling like this is, and at this time of the year too, is pretty jarring for this club.
The Astros are a little bit better than 60-40 favorites by the odds in this series. From a Cleveland perspective, Anthony, where would you build the case for the Indians' best chance?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
The Astros are better than 60-40 favorites by the odds in this series. From a Cleveland perspective, how would you build the Tribe's case?
Yeah, you know, I think they're so, I'm not going to say evenly matched, but I just say closely matched. I mean, this series could be a sweep for all we know, but I just feel like the games are going to be closely contested because you're talking about the two best rotations in baseball. You're talking about two really good bullpens. And I would probably prefer the Astros bullpen just the way they're firing all cylinders right now. But the Indians bullpen has so much upside, you know, with Andrew Miller back healthy. You know, Cody Allen's been working through some mechanical things, but they feel like they've turned a corner there. And they added Brad Hand midseason. And I think you'll see Trevor Bauer in the bullpen within the first couple games of the series. So they're both so deep on the pitching side. And the offensive side, you know, the Indians have taken on such a different dimension with the addition of Josh Donaldson. It's hard to know how all the pieces come together. It's kind of like a brand new ball club in some respects. You know, you got Ramirez moved over to second base, Jason Kipnis to center field, and Donaldson's just still, you know, getting his timing back after so much time off. But you saw some of the explosiveness that makes him so special. He looks good on defense, so. You know, the Indians lineup has a lot of upside too, and as I would say, the Astros does as well, just because, you know, they were banged up over the course of the year, but we know the potential that group has. So I think it's a fascinating series. I think the winner of the series goes to the World Series ultimately, and I would agree that the Astros should be the favorite, but I do think it'll be closely contested.
Anthony, a couple of sub elements within the series: the Astros have an excellent defensive outfielder with which gets even greater in the late innings with a lead when Marisnik goes into center, Springer to right, Reddick to left. You alluded to the moves with Donaldson at third. I mean, to me, Kipnis, he's a below-average major league center fielder. I don't think they're graded particularly highly on the corners. What kind of factor could that play? And does Francona, if Guyer is right, I mean, he defensive subs late?
I mean, they're taking a real risk in their outfield defensively. And for a team that, you know, Game 6 of the World Series a couple of years ago really got away from them defensively in the outfield, and it made a big difference in that series. So, and they know that. It's a calculated gamble. You know, you're hoping you get enough offensively from Kipnis, some big swings to make it all worthwhile. And he swung the bat better in recent weeks, but he, you know, really had a rough offensive season overall. So what they're hoping is, you know, get some offense early, get a lead, and in the sixth inning, start bringing in the reserves. You know, Greg Allen has taken to replacing Kipnis in the late innings, and he's a, you know, real speedster, really good defender. You got Melky Cabrera in right field, and I mean, gosh, that's a risk there as well. And Michael Brantley is a solid defender, but not a great one. So that's definitely an area where the Astros have an edge defensively.
Terry Francona, obviously and naturally, is going to back all of his relief pitchers, saying he basically has unbridled faith in Cody Allen. I don't know if he's the only one, but it's not an overwhelming majority who would view it that way, given the season he's had. The Astros overall, much better hitting team against left-handed pitching. The Indians are all righty starters, multiple lefties in the pen. So, hypothetical, Anthony. Indians lead 3-2 going to the bottom of the ninth. Springer, Altuve, Bregman coming up the top of the order. Who do you think Francona wants on the mound in the bottom of the ninth?
Yeah, I mean, Cody. That's Cody Allen's situation as far as I'm concerned. Now, they have, of course, looked at things way closer than you or I would even take the time to do. And they don't view themselves as having a closer right now, per se. They feel like, spin rates or how this guy fares against this particular pitch. They're going to look at all that stuff. It's not even just lefty-righty stuff, of course. And so, Andrew Miller could finish a game for this club. Brad Hand could obviously finish games for this club, and he has finished a lot of them, since he was acquired in trade. And Cody Allen, of course, is their closer for a long time. So really, any of those three guys. But I'm curious, and I mentioned this earlier, is just, what's Trevor Bauer's role in all of this? He could start game four, or you could see him prior to that out of the bullpen. And you mentioned, the Astros being such a right-handed dominant lineup, the Indians being, leaning pretty heavily left-handed in the bullpen right now. I think Trevor Bauer is a huge X factor in the series. I think you're going to see him. There's opportunity to see him in multiple inning stints, and maybe it'll be like a situation like McCullers last year in the LCS where, he's closing things out over multiple innings. I don't rule that out.
Wholly concur as a possibility. Terry Francona has said, he's really not thinking about bringing Kluber back on short rest. But if the series is 2-1 Astros, can you really see him using Shane Bieber as a starter if Bauer is unavailable because of relief use? And then conversely, if you're the Astros and you're down 2-1, if Verlander hasn't thrown 120 pitches in game one, right, you bringing back Verlander or are you going to go with Charlie Morton?
Yeah, if it's me, I'd probably lean towards my horses. I mean, Morton can obviously step up on the stage. We saw that last year, so I don't put it past him. I would be a little more hesitant if I'm Francona with a rookie and Shane Bieber. But he's shown really great poise. And then you can look at his ERA, and it's probably not a great indication of how well he's pitched for them. I think there's been some poor batted ball luck there, so I wouldn't totally rule it out. But he's got poise, he's got command. But, there'd be significant temptation to bring back Kluber, and especially in today's game, the numbers are not great for guys on short rest. But if you're only hoping to get through the order a couple times and then turn it over to bullpen, if you feel confident in the depth of your bullpen, I think the Indians do, maybe that's a different equation. So, you present a fascinating scenario for either team down 2-1 that there's probably going to be temptation in that moment.
Of course, there's pressure on both teams. Anytime we hear we have nothing to lose, BS. You're trying to win a World Series here. Indians, best record in the league, and then the Yankees take them out last year. Is there a little extra burden on them, particularly if they don't get off with Kluber in game one? Of course, Verlander is a massive hurdle for them to clear, but that the Indians taking game one might be more imperative.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at the big picture, they have to win one of these two in Houston. I mean, that goes without saying, but I think whether they would admit that or not, and they wouldn't for the record, but there's definitely an incentive on this club in this moment to take advantage of this stage because this is a smaller market team and things can go south in a hurry. You're one Kluber injury away or guys leaving free, they have some prominent pending free agents in Miller and Allen and Brantley. Donaldson of course is a pending free agent. So this is their window, this is their moment. They wasted an opportunity a year ago. They're up 2-0 on the Yankees. I think they started to dig themselves a little bit, started to think ahead and look ahead because of they went on that wild ride in 2016 and made it look easy in the first two rounds, and then game three got away from them in New York and everything fell apart from that. So, I think there's extra motivation this year and an extra understanding of how special this opportunity is. And, it was interesting because 2016, they go to the World Series with a lesser roster, but they did it because, Francona managed aggressively. They played aggressively, being shorthanded, having some injuries in the rotation took them to another level in a good way. It brought out the best in that ball club. Whereas last year, they had gone that 22-game winning streak. They had a tremendous roster, tremendous run differential, everything you could possibly want. And it just didn't all add up in the postseason because, I think they got ahead of themselves a little bit. So this will be interesting to see how they respond this year And maybe they get off to that 0-1 start. You know, Verlander is so tough, but you know how they respond in game two. They got to win one here.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com. We are obviously Astros Indian-centric, but let's go a little bit beyond. Man, 108 wins. If Sale is not right, are the Yankees a pretty big favorite?
This is the series everyone in MLB wanted, right? Yankees, Red Sox, and I'd probably take the Yankees situation over the Red Sox right now. I think the Red Sox have a lot of questions in their bullpen. It's going to be fascinating to see how Chris Sale looks in game one. You know, his velocity dip was so stark his last time out in the regular season. Missed so much time. He pitched like 17 innings in the last 2 months of the year. So, the Red Sox could be the typical, you know, best team in the regular season that doesn't get it done in the postseason. I'm not ruling them out by any means, but I like the Yankees vibe a lot better right now.
Four best records in Major League Baseball, all American League teams, certainly funnels into why it feels a part like the National League is the JV division. Yeah, well, whoever wins the JV can beat the varsity in a best-of-seven series. But just a bullet point from you on each, Rockies, Brewers, Braves, Dodgers.
Rockies, Brewers is so much fun. Those are such two fun clubs. They play so well together. I like the Brewers' overall pitching situation. I think the Rockies' rotation, but I just like the Brewers can really mix and match with the best of them. They got such a deep bullpen, so that'll be really cool to watch. And then Braves Dodgers, man, I hate to say this, I feel like the Braves can't hang with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are just so deep, and the way Walker Buehler is come of age for them, and Clayton Kershaw, of course, you know he's had his struggles in the postseason. We all know that, but I just like their pitching outlook so much better than that of the Braves. But to your point earlier, you know, yeah, I mean the records are definitely better in the American League. Some of that, of course, is a function of there were so many tanking teams in the American League, and you know, they kind of built up their profiles as a result. And you wonder, you know, the National League team that gets to the World Series will have definitely earned it, will have definitely played in a situation where they were playing pressure games throughout the second half. So you wonder, you know, does that parlay itself into some swagger on the World Series stage? We'll have to wait and see.
Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com. Hey, appreciate the time and insight to continued success with the podcast, and hope to talk again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.